T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Hello, everyone. It's John Hancock sitting in for the vacationing Mark Reardon, but don't worry, he'll be back on Monday. This is my last day filling in this week. You got Mike Elam to look forward to tomorrow, and the great attorney Brad Young is going to fill in Thursday and Friday. Mark will be back on Monday. I have enjoyed working with Sue Thomas.
Oh, this is fun. We're having a great time with you in here.
Well, I'm loving it. And, of course, David Klein. Who doesn't love David Klein?
I mean, I can't think of anyone.
Thanks, exactly, John. Appreciate it.
So, as I'm coming in this morning, our host, our regular host, Mark Reardon, put out a tweet that got me, well, it got me angry, steaming angry. He says, and I quote, "I'm on vacation, but I predicted this before I left. The mayor and the king of St. Louis County are going to reinstate the mask mandate. Oh. I have it on good authority, so just wait for it. Wait for it. Ridiculous." That is what Mark Reardon tweeted, and Mark Reardon is correct. If, in fact, his information is accurate, it is ridiculous. So apparently, and here's the other thing. Just around the corner, now I'm going to make a prediction. They're going to close everything down again. I just
you think so?
I think they might.
We cannot afford it. No business can afford it. Certainly no business can afford it. I mean, it can't happen.
What did they tell you? They told you wear a mask. And I actually complied for, 2020, and I wore the darn thing. And I know a lot of people didn't like it. I didn't like it, but I understood it. But then they said, get the vaccine. Just go get the vaccine and we can get rid of these masks and we can go live our lives again. And that's what we did. That's what I did. And I'm living my life. I'm going out. I'm having fun. It's and now they're gonna require a mask and social distancing. And that means, in all likelihood, the ballpark's going to go back to half capacity or less. And if this stuff comes down, there's going to be a lot of angry people out there.
Do you think it we should preface it by saying it hasn't? And has the mask mandate even come, or has he heard something? Is that what you were saying, John?
Yeah, Mark says he's got it on good authority that the order's coming down soon. So I don't know who his source is. I do know that a lot of folks in the healthcare community are urging bringing back the mask mandates and social distancing again. Because of this new Delta variant, I wonder if people are going to comply this time. If you're out there, 241-9797, give us a holler. If Tashara Jones and Sam Page put another mask mandate coupled with social distancing in place, and we all know what that did to restaurants and other institutions, are you going to comply, or are you going to fight, or what are you going to do? Dale, are you going to mask up?
I guess. I mean, I have them ready. I'll do it because I guess so. I think what my concern is that I live right by the border of St. Louis County and Jefferson County.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you that if they reinstitute this, that people that live by me will go to a grocery store in Jefferson County rather than St. Louis County because they know they do not have to wear the mask.
Yeah, I think that's right. And St. Charles County, they're not going to have a mask. I guarantee you, Steve Almond's not going to have a mask mandate in St. Charles County. And, you know, this thing, it's frustrating for me. I don't like big government. I certainly don't like government dictating everything I do. I understand that for the good of the community or whatever, when the virus was running rampant, you know, I wore the mask, but I do not like big government. And I wonder, we're going to have Councilman Tim Fitch on later today. I'm going to ask him about this. I wonder if the council will go along with this because now they have
the power.
They do. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I don't think they will. And we seriously, our businesses cannot survive it.
Right.
The restaurants can barely get employees enough to even be open now. They cannot afford to be shut down again. So hopefully, as my friend Jana's mother always says, let's not borrow trouble. Girls, let's not borrow trouble. I should say gentlemen in this room, let's not borrow trouble. Maybe it won't happen, but I think there's no way the council will go for it. Do you, John? There's no way.
I wouldn't think so. Let's see what Harold has to say. Harold, which button do I press over here? I press the right
button. He's already on, John.
Oh, all right. Harold, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk. Harold?
Hello?
Hey, Harold, you're on the air.
Hey, you know, I'm vaccinated. I got both shots. My wife does. My daughter does. She works for Mercy. I'm not doing it. I'll just deal outside of St. Louis County, St. Louis City. I'm tired of this.
I'm tired of it too.
I just think they've way overstepped their bounds.
Well, I agree with you, Harold. And they haven't done it yet, so I don't want to give people too alarmed. But a lot of people think it's coming, and I think it's coming fairly soon. Thanks for your call, and we'll go now to Joe. Joe, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for taking my call. Great show. So what frustrates me is why don't they tell us to supplement with vitamin D3?
Huh?
Because that has proven to be the biggest thing of everything, but instead of masks and all these other things, if we would promote supplementing with vitamin D3, that would solve a lot of our issues.
Well, how about that? It's the first I've ever heard of that, but I appreciate your call. Thanks for joining us today. It's a little vitamin D3 out there. You ever heard of that, Sue?
I haven't, but, you know, I don't know it all any stretch.
My in-laws are big vitamin people, and so we all went to Hawaii together. This was right after Georgiana and I got married. And at the time, we were taking cod liver oil pills and garlic pills.
I'm sorry, cod liver?
Yeah, yeah. Cod liver oil pills and garlic pills. So we're taking the garlic pills, and there's the four of us, my mother and father-in-law, and me and my wife in the back seat. We're in a small little rental car that we had. and it starts raining. We're driving to the road to Hana, and it starts raining. So you roll up the windows, and we had all taken our garlic pills. I got to tell you. There was not a vampire in the world that was going to get in that car. Wow. I mean, that was some crazy stuff, man.
Probably needed a lot of mouthwash, too.
I would have worn a mask then. If I would have had a mask handy at that point, I would have put that sucker on, man, because, well, Sam Page, the king of St. Louis County. We'll see what he does. You know, the other fun fact about Sam Page, of course, is the council is going after him because the charter says you can't have a second job.
Well, now, here's what I don't get. We all knew this at the beginning. Why is this just coming up? Because he's annoyed people? How did he get elected again? You know what I mean?
Well,
why didn't we bring it up before then?
There's lots of people getting elected out there that make me scratch my bald head, I'll tell you. But he's an anesthesiologist, which is not a shocker. If you've ever heard him talk, he'll put you to sleep, you know.
Hey-o.
So he's apparently putting people to sleep on the weekends and on his, quote, free time, and he says it's not a violation of the charter. Well, we're going to find out. The council has subpoenaed his work record, so that's going to be fascinating.
Is it a certain amount of hours that he can't work? You know what I mean? Is that how they define whether or not that job counts against it?
The charter says you can, if you're the county executive, it must be your only job.
Well,
only job. That's what it says. So it's pretty clear.
Yeah,
they're not even following their own charter.
No.
Yes, exactly. No. It doesn't matter what his hours are.
And here's a guy that he's patently violating the charter in the county. And if he puts a mask mandate on, is he going to start sending people out to give citations write tickets if people aren't following his edicts. This thing is very troublesome to me, and I got worked up. I got to get over that though, because you know Jeff Bezos, he went up into space today. Or I guess he didn't get to space, but he went higher than Richard Branson.
I loved it. I watched the whole thing this morning in that studio.
Huh.
And I don't know why. I guess when you think about all the engineering that go into this thing, and when the rocket goes up and the actual launcher comes down and lands on its 3 feet perfectly and they can reuse it. I mean, it's just the brain power behind this. It was stunning to see.
I guess that's hundreds of millions of dollars get you to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You would hope that the rocket is going to be able to use it again in the future.
Yeah. So the thing landed on its feet, huh?
Yeah. It
did you watch it,
takes
John?
Takes it to the top.
No,
you got to see it.
This
it's
was Ronnie cool. O'Sullivan's opening
oh,
match.
That's
of
right.
the
yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
right.
Which, by the way, I'm
did
proud
he win?
To report he did. He's
All
going
right.
on to the next round. It was riveting stuff. You know, everybody's a little rusty the first time out in the new season.
Well,
so
sure.
He wasn't on his A game, but he was good enough to win.
I was watching this morning with my kids because I thought, well, it's not the equivalent of, you know, watching the
moon
space
landing,
launch. Yeah, the moon
yeah.
landing. It's not, but I wanted my kids to see it just because they're five, they're obsessed with rockets and anything that goes fast. So I was watching with them this morning. They kept on asking me, like, is he in space yet? And I said, you know what? I can't tell. I honestly don't know. Obviously, by the height, you'd be able to tell, but I would assume you would see, you know, just black, empty darkness, and you didn't really see that at all.
Well, I think they come right to the cusp of it, Dave. Enough to see the curvature of the Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, we were talking about what the flat earthers think about that. Yet again, right? If NASA has been doing a conspiracy, now that private people are going and showing you the curvature of the Earth, are they just in on it?
Sure,
but,
right.
But you can just see that. But I think if you go too much higher, you're in. You would be in orbit.
Okay.
Oh wow. Yeah. So, but he did go higher than Richard Branson.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he went. How many miles?
I guess I think it was at least
five or
five.
Yeah.
Miles. Yeah. Yeah.
You know how aggravating would that be if you're Richard Branson? I mean, you know,
you
got to
do it again.
These guys are going to have to keep competing against each other. You know, to see if one, so it'll be 66 miles the next time.
Right.
And then old Bezos will go up into 67 miles, and that'll be something.
I was kind of worried about, I think, 82-year-old Wally Funk
Were
flying
you,
into
really?
I was. It
one
just thought that was
names.
In the. It's a great name, isn't it?
Wally no, you Funk. Can't beat that.
The thought was the in the back of my head the whole time was, I just hope that she, you know, she's
but
not exactly a spring chicken.
82.
I hope she can survive going up. What, 1,000 miles per hour?
Yeah, but did you see her beforehand?
Yes.
I mean, this woman has more energy than
three
of us combined.
She's
stronger than I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is she really?
I'm telling you. I saw a picture of her. I said, she's 82?
She's
right.
been dying
like
to do this
now.
Forever, and she's been a pilot. She said in one interview she has taught thousands of people how to fly. She came in third in the testing to be an astronaut, but they wouldn't let her up because she was... They got rid of the program for the ladies.
As Fernando Lamas would say, she looked marvelous.
And, she did look marvelous.
I mean, not like I don't want to date her or anything,
no,
but
I
mean,
you.
She's 82 years old. You know, I've always looked old for my age. So even when I was I was working at an ad agency, and I just had turned 32. So I'm walking through accounting, HR, and somebody said it was my birthday. And they said, happy birthday, John. I said, oh, thank you. And the gal sitting over to the right, she said, how old are you? I said, I'm 32. She says, no, really. How old are you? I said, I'm 32. I said, how old do you think I am? She said, 48.
Oh, now you always guess younger, even for guys.
Yeah.
Always
well,
go younger.
So I learned that lesson. I was walking around a meet and greet. You know, I was running for office. I'm shaking hands, and there's a lady I knew somewhat. So I shake her hands. I said, when's that baby due? And she said, I had it 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Lost that
it only
vote.
Takes once.
All right, we need to step aside, but we're having a good time. We're off to a good start. Sue Thomas, David Klein, I'm John Hancock, in for Mark Reardon. When we come back, we're going to visit with the mayor of Carmel, Indiana, Jim Brainerd. They're 70% vaccinated there, and they have very, very few hospitalizations. We'll talk to them next, right here on 97.1. Back to the Mark Reardon Show. This is John Hancock sitting in for Mark Reardon. Well, as most of you know, the national media is quite fond of pointing out that the Republicans aren't getting the vaccine. And you know, I kind of resent that. I used to be the chairman of the Missouri Republican Party back in the day, and I'm fully vaccinated, and so is our next guest, and so is most of the people in his city. He's the mayor of Carmel, Indiana. His name is Jim Brainerd. He, too, is a lifelong Republican, a seven-term mayor of that city. Mayor Brainerd, welcome to 97.1.
It's great to be with you, John. How are you?
I am doing well, sir. So your community, Carmel, is located where in the state, approximately?
So we're in the very central part of the state. We're the largest edge city to Indianapolis. So we're part, be like Clayton to St. Louis.
Gotcha.
We're on the very north side of Indianapolis. We share a street.
And so you got very active very early once the vaccines came out. Tell us how the community rallied together and to get to a 70% vaccination rate in a state that has a 43% vaccination rate.
I just got the numbers today, and we're just half a point shy of 80%
wow.
of those eligible to be vaccinated in the city of Carmel. I think people look at it, they care about their neighbors. They know there are immunocompromised people who've had heart transplants, kidney transplants that can't be vaccinated, people that might be suspected of Guillain-Barre disease, they can't be vaccinated. And so if everybody around them doesn't get vaccinated, these folks are at great risk of getting COVID. Like any other, you know, there's always 1 to 2% of the community or any group of people that can't take a particular vaccine.
Right.
And that's why it's so important for everybody else to get vaccinated. And in this case, we want to cut down these variants having a place to continue to grow and change. And so getting that cut back, I think, is important, too. We worked really hard. You know, cities run in our city. We run EMS. And so we started getting our EMS workers tested early on back in February of 2020. We had all our public-facing city employees required to get tested every week so we could, you know, firefighters live together in communal settings. And it's so important that, you know, that's vital public safety. And we have to keep those folks healthy. And so we knew when somebody would get COVID, we'd isolate them, have them quarantine, and manage to keep our workforce relatively happy. And it's been a challenge for cities all across the country to do that. And I think it really is important, though, that political leaders speak out and say, hey, we need to quit paying attention to less than accurate information on social media and the internet. Pay attention to what the scientists are saying. We're a country that has always believed in science and progress. We need to continue to be that country.
And that community of yours, I would have to assume, is very Republican.
Since the Civil War, I think we've elected one Democrat.
Wow. Well,
since Abraham Lincoln was elected.
he must have been something else, that guy.
Yeah, he's one of my council members. He's a good guy.
Oh, good.
But it is a traditionally a Republican area, but I think even more than RLD, it's about R&D, it's about educational level. 70% of our adults, 105 people live in our city, 105,000, but 70% of the adults hold a university degree, and 40% hold a graduate degree. And I think these are people because they're fortunate people and worked hard to get those degrees, but they might dig a little bit harder when they see false information. And because of their training, be able to analyze that information maybe a bit more rigorously and throw out the stuff that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I think it's really interesting the way you all aggressively, even before the vaccines came. And one of the things I'm reading, the account that I'm reading, it talks about that you even monitored the sewage to pinpoint the sections of the city that might be seeing an uptick in infection rates. How does that work?
Well, it's old technology, actually. The polio epidemics back in the 1920s and 30s. And so we really don't know. In fact, I got the reading today. We're continuing to do that. It's a bit of a canary in a coal mine because, do the math, somebody gets infected, they throw off most of the virus. They throw off the most amounts day two or three.
Yeah.
They generally don't know they have it until day 5 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
So these people who don't know they have it yet, they still feel fine, are throwing off lots of virus to other people. And so we see that. We saw a little uptick after the 4th of July, about 4 or 5 days later, but then it went back down again in the day's reading, which is good. But we're able, we don't really know how many people have it from that testing, but we see big increases or decreases. So if we saw a huge increase coming, it would give us one more data, yeah, piece of data that our county health officials could use. Hospitals can use it to determine staffing. I could use it to make decisions if we had to go make shut down the city again if it got terrible or something like we did a year ago in March. But we've seen the amount of virus in our sewage flow decrease over the last several months by 90%, and it stayed. It bounces around a little, but it stays low.
So
it stays
low. How much do you pay the guy that has to monitor the sewage?
Well, we collect the sample. We send it off to a lab in Boston. It was founded by some recent MIT graduates, and they're doing this for cities around the country, and we get readings back within 24 or 48 hours.
Wow, that's that'd be a tough one when your kid goes to school and has to say what his parent does for a living. He monitors sewage.
Hey, all work is good. I told my kids that. Work is a good thing. Doesn't matter what it is.
How are your hospitalization rates? I assume they've come way down.
Yeah, I monitor those. We have about four hospitals in Carmel. Only two of them accept COVID patients.
Wow.
And so I monitor those, and we don't, because of HIPAA, the federal privacy laws, we don't necessarily know where those patients are from, but probably they're from Carmel.
Sure.
And so in January, when we were at our peak, we had 70 plus patients in the hospital on several days. Today we were at 3. Last week we were at 1. It's bounced between 0 and 6 the last month or so.
Well, our county executive over here is thinking about imposing a mask mandate again in St. Louis County. And it sounds like you guys have figured it out there in Carmel, Indiana. I want to thank Mayor Jim Brainerd for being our guest. Great stuff, and thanks for sharing that with us right here in 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis.
It's good to talk with you, John. Stay safe.
You too, sir. Well, that's interesting that, you know, they've gone, and that proves the point. Everybody's talking about herd immunity that we're trying to get to, and there's a great example, a great case study of a community, and 100,000 people, that's not a small town. I mean, that's a real community. 70%, he says now 80% as of today are vaccinated there, and they've got 2 people in the hospital with COVID.
Incredible.
It's you know,
I like what he said at the beginning, too, because you mentioned community. And he said at the beginning of the interview that how the community was watching out for each other, how they knew their friends, their neighbors had these comorbidities. And so they thought, we're going to get vaccinated to not only help us, but to also help them.
Right. And it worked, and it works and continues to work for those of us that have taken that vaccine. And which is another reason why I don't want to put that darn mask on again. It's so aggravating. Well, we have food, you know, favorite foods in St. Louis. What do you think of when you think of St. Louis food?
Either toasted Ravs, right, or Emo's Pizza.
Yeah.
Number one come to mind.
Yeah, you got gooey. And I guess most places, you know, most places have foods that they like to call their own. And I know Sue's a big foodie over there. And what do you associate with St. Louis food?
Oh, Ted Drew's and Emo's.
Yeah.
And McConnell's, a burger. Oh, I love a burger.
Oh, there
McConnell's
we go.
People.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in Cincinnati, their favorite chili. Food is Skyline Chili.
Yeah.
And they're quite proud of it.
Yeah.
So the Cincinnati Reds were playing the New York Mets in Cincinnati last night. And the Mets announcers, Ron Darling and who was the other one?
Gary Cohen.
Oh, Gary Cohen and Ron Darling. So they got to talking about Cincinnati's favorite food. It's pretty funny.
This is the local delicacy known as Skyline Chili. The five-way with the spaghetti and the beans and the cheese.
Five-way.
First, the disgusting chili gravy.
And what do you put on
the onions?
You put some mustard or something on that?
No, wait a second. After the onions comes the cheese, and that's what makes it the five-way.
Here we go. There's the cheese. They put like 10 tons of shredded cheese on there. And this is supposed to be food that you actually eat.
Now, does the cheese melt or is that a...
Ronnie, have you ever had Skyline Chili?
I have not.
I would recommend...
having it? Or?
Well, no. You need to try everything once.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Try it once and then you'll never eat it again.
I'll tell you why.
He's absolutely right.
It's got cinnamon in it. And see, Mark Cox is from the Cincinnati area.
Yeah.
And we've had this discussion before. To me, it's the cinnamon. What?
And it's a weird
and
consistency,
chocolate,
too.
And it's thinner.
Yeah. Did you say chocolate?
Yes, they put chocolate in it.
There's chocolate in the chili?
Sometimes. That's the thing. Oh. If it's in Cincinnati, it could either be chocolate or cinnamon or both.
Now, I love Coney Islands.
You know,
a good Detroit Coney Island can't be beat. You know, with the hot dog and a little chili on
Yum.
There.
Oh, right.
But the Skyline sounds a little disgusting, but they're all over the place. I guess people up there, down there, eat them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
Oh.
Yeah, I wouldn't even feed it to my dog.
Why would you put chocolate on a hot dog?
Jeez, that's harsh, Dave. I would.
Who would even conceive of putting chocolate on a hot dog? What kind of a sick and twisted
mind? It's a monster.
Mind.
Thank you.
Monster, John.
Oh, you know, that's what's...
And allspice.
This is why
I don't even like that in pie.
This is why some of the people get elected because there are people out there who put chocolate on a hot dog.
It's un-American.
It's not right. It's not American. It's certainly Cincinnati. They don't know what they're doing down there. Well,
no.
Well, and I don't like their team either. You know, that's the team where they kicked poor Jason LaRue in the head and ended his career. Remember that?
What?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember
that. That was in 2010.
Oh, my God.
Cardinals backup catcher. There was and it was Johnny Cueto, the guy that just pitched for the Giants the other night. It was either his rookie season or his second season, and there was an incident, you know, throwing at somebody. The benches cleared, and Johnny Cueto was kicking, and he kicked Jason LaRue in the helmet up against the screen behind home plate. And it ended LaRue's baseball career.
That's why
Johnny Cueto gets booed every time he comes to Busch Stadium.
And
Molina
cow.
Still gets booed every time he goes to Cincinnati.
Right. Yeah, because Yachty was tough. And then Brandon Phillips the next day tapped Yachty on his shin pad.
Right.
And then we had another melee. Don't mess with Yachty.
Uh-uh.
Don't mess with Yachty. All right, when we come back, well, it's going to be fun. I'm not sure what it's going to be, but it's going to be fun. It's the Mark Ridge Show, 97.1 FM Talk.
Five, four, command engine start, 2, 1.
That was it. That was the big blast off today. Jeff Bezos, a couple other people. His brother was in there. The 82-year-old
Wally Funk.
Wally Funk. What kind of a name is that? Well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So this was a big deal today. Everybody says. I guess it is. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It wasn't. It wasn't must see streaming for me today.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
Did you watch the first one?
I did not. I mean, you know, if you've been on that ride at Disney, whatever it's called.
You're pretty much right there.
It's kind of the same thing.
And it doesn't cost $20 million.
Have you been to Disney?
Well, that's true. Yeah. Good point.
It was cool to see, though. It's just brilliant engineering, whether it's NASA or not. It was fun to watch.
Well, Jeff Bezos was pretty excited about it, and he kind of ticked off a few people with this comment.
I also want to thank... every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all of this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart very much. It's very appreciated.
Well, there's a guy that's made a nickel or two off of Amazon. What's he worth, Klein? Do we know?
Oh, off the top of my head.
I mean, it's like multiple billions of dollars, right?
How much is...
Sue's very good with the Google.
We go to the research department over here at Sue Thomas. Going into
the research desk.
$205
billion. $205
billion. Oh. Now, were people mad? I don't think that was a horrible thing to say. I don't understand
again,
why that's horrible.
It was, you know, the Twitter mafia that goes after someone for that. Like, how dare you, Jeff Bezos? Like, well, I think it was pretty tongue-in-cheek. You know, he gets it.
He's allowed to. I don't think that's an offensive thing.
No,
to say.
Right. It's not.
I agree.
Thank the customers out there.
Yes.
He's worth his, you know, 200. You know, it wasn't too long ago that that was the size of the federal government.
Boy,
you know,
no kidding.
That's a staggering amount of money. Well, he wasn't alone. I said his brother went up. There was a Danish student, I think, on the flight. And what do you call her again?
Wally Funk. Yeah.
Now, this is the 82-year-old who flew, that looks better than I do. And she was, it was exhilarating for her. This is what Wally Funk had to say.
Woo! I can't tell you. I had such a good instructor. He took us through everything that we were going to do. So when I went up this morning, the noise wasn't quite as bad. And we went right on up, and I saw darkness. I thought I was going to see the world, but we weren't quite high enough. And I felt great. I felt like I was just laying down. And I was going into space. And I want to thank you, sweetheart, because you made it possible for me. I've been waiting a long time to finally get it up there. And I've done a lot of astronaut training through the world, Russia, America, and I could always beat the guys on what they were doing because I was always stronger and I've always done everything on my own. And I didn't do dolls. I did outside stuff. And I flew airplanes. I had 19,000 some hours. I loved it. And I loved being here with all of you and your family, and the four of us. We had a great time. It was
That's
wonderful.
True.
I want to go again fast. And then, when I got off the ship, they gave me the tail end of one of the balloons, and I'm going to cherish that forever.
And by the way, we can confirm that Wally, once again in training, outperformed the men on the mission. 100%.
How about that? 82 years old. That's she's got more spunk than I do.
It's incredible. It was so fun, and I'm watching the video of them when it went weightless. You know,
yeah.
And they're all floating around and hugging each other in the. It's just cool.
Huh. I think something like that happened to me back in college.
Sure.
So what? Now the backstory of Wally Funk is what?
Well, she was on. I can't remember the name of the project. Was it Mercury 13? Dave, help me. And so she went through all the astronaut training, right?
Yeah,
and she did, when she was saying that, she was right. She took tests, whatever you do, physical and otherwise.
Right.
And she was third out of, you know, however many astronauts.
Right, sure.
She tested above some of the men,
huh.
But didn't get to go because they scrapped the project. I'm not sure whether it was specifically because it was a female project, but they got rid of it, and she never ended up being able to go.
Yeah, I think we probably didn't have female astronauts in the very beginning. That got changed, and I think was Sally Ride the first female in space?
Wow, that's a good question.
I think she may have been. And how cool would it have been if Wally Funk was the first? You know, that's a unique name, you know?
Yes, it is.
Her name is Mary Wallace Funk, and she goes by
Wally, okay.
Yeah. So, you just wonder what would make a person choose to go by Wally when your first name is actually Mary, you know? I mean, don't you wonder?
Well, you know what? Who knows? I'm just, now, of course, I've gone down the rabbit hole, and it says
with the
that...
Funker?
Yeah. Well, no, a cosmonaut was the first female in space. She was the Soviet Union. Huh?
Hmm.
Go figure.
There you go.
1963.
So, just a little bit of research here. Funk originally volunteered as a member of the Mercury 13 program, otherwise known as the Women
Good
in Space
call,
program,
Sue.
In February of 1961.
61?
Yep.
That was a long time ago.
Imagine going through all that training.
82 years old, man. I mean, I don't know if I'll be around at 82, but I'm pretty confident I won't be going into space at 82.
Yep.
I hope I'm
deal.
Walking still at 82.
Yeah, no kidding. And that was quite an accomplishment. But, you know, we were talking about names. I've gone through life as John Hancock, and it's kind of a, I don't know, I like it now, but it's not for everybody to have a name like that. You
Do
know?
People ever give you a double take and go, is that really
your
name?
It happens all the time. And so what happened was I was the victim of sibling rivalry. So
because of your name?
No. my mother's sister.
They would have the same
God,
name,
God rest
Dave,
her soul. My Aunt Totsy. My Aunt Totsy. She married a guy named Tim Kennedy. And they had a son in 1962, and they named him John Kennedy.
Wow.
Who was the president at the time.
That's rough.
Yeah, and so I was born in 1964, and my mother named me John Hancock to one-up her sister. And that's honestly what happened, and because I don't have, there are no Johns in my family line, hardly. So there you have it. But it's, I don't know, it's kind of fun. Now, Sue Thomas, is that your real name, or is that a made-up name for the radio?
That's it.
You know, there are a lot of people make up a name when they get on the radio.
Yeah, that's
oh, very
true.
Yep,
yeah, that is true.
But nope, I use the one that good old mom gave me. So that's been kind of fun. How about you, Klein? Your kids? What are your kids' names?
I have a Cameron and Kyle are the twins, and they're 5 years old. And then Will is our little guy. So we wanted to give the twins just original names, not really family names, and their middle names are family names. And then Will is actually named after my my wife's grandpa.
Oh, fun.
Who had just passed away just a little bit before he was born. So.
Oh, wow. That's a shame.
And then he has my name as his middle name. So kind of a family connection with all the names.
That's very cool.
Yeah. It was tough decisions to make, and our big thing was naming the twins was who's going to get what name. That was the big decision to make, because you don't want to go, well, maybe we should name this one that one instead. It's always the big thing with them.
Yeah, my family, growing up, we had my sister Paula Kay, my brother David Jay, and I'm John Ray. So there you have it. Hey, we'll be back next hour. We're going to have the state auditor, or state attorney general with us. Stick around right here, 97.1.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!